Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya. He is the senior market analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, markets are fairly muted today, but there was a press conference or a speech given by Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, at the NABE conference today. This isn't really moving markets, but it is always important to touch on some of the key points that Powell made. First and foremost, his comments that continue to push on government and Congress to get some sort of a funding package through. He keeps on saying this. Powell has pointed to the government and said, we need them to give the Fed something to monetize. Powell really seems to be stepping away from using any more tools or increasing any of the easy money policies that the Fed is doing and saying, all right, government, ball is in your court. Let's see you guys follow through with something. How important, Ed, do you think this back and forth between Jerome Powell and the Fed are to the government and any sort of spending plan out of the government?
I think Powell has been very consistent in his message ever since Jackson Hole. He's pretty much pointed at the Congress and said, you need to do your part. The Fed can't do it alone. And I think his comments about the economic recovery being underway, but that the U.S. is facing a long slog to the full economic recovery is really going to resonate for some lawmakers. I think that we're going on over a few months now where we were expecting more stimulus from Congress, and it seems that we're constantly hearing that Pelosi and Mnuchin are talking, but they're not able to break that impasse. And we're less than a month away from the election, and it seems that there's still hope that, you know, something will get done. But I think what we're probably going to see is that, Powell kind of painted a rather downbeat assessment, just noting that, the realistic unemployment rate is closer to 11%. I think that is a very strong point that, I think many people are going to focus on that. And that the Fed, and what he kind of did was, he mentioned that, they're not considering negative rates, as you mentioned. They're not really considering in providing additional support to the economy. And he's really putting the pressure on Congress. So what that is doing is it's not giving us that, that normal punch bowl green light of stimulus. Let's just drive risky assets up. It's like, okay, we're going to have to wait a little bit here. And I think that, Powell is he's following what's happening with the election, and you're seeing a strong momentum grow that we might have this blue wave, and if that's the case, Powell is the Fed's not going to need to do a lot more, because you're going to have if we do have the blue wave, you're going to have not just Democrats deliver on the higher end of the scale of this next fiscal stimulus package, but you're going to see massive infrastructure spending, which, could near $5 trillion. So that would be tremendous for the economy. That would make the Fed's job a lot easier. So I think the Fed is pretty much on standby until the election. And you can't count out President Trump, but some people are pricing in just possibly a 20% chance he might get reelected. And, a lot can happen. There's still, the way 2020 has gone, we should not be surprised if we have any massive developments leading up to the election that might change people's minds. But I think for the most part, you're going to start to see further pricing in of a Biden outcome. And I think that, along with a Fed on hold, is going to provide risky assets with limited reason to continue in a rally. If we do have that blue wave, that might trigger that rotation somewhat out of big tech into those cyclicals. And I think that's going to be the focal point for many people.
Yeah, I do understand why the government is having trouble getting anything through right now, because we have the election that is now under a month away, and there's the potential of a lot changing. We just don't know what's going to happen in this month. But when it comes to the difference for markets or even for commodities, even for currencies, what do you think would be impacted the most? Which market would develop either a substantial uptrend or a substantial downtrend on the back of a bit more of a blue wave from the election?
Well, I think when we anticipate a blue wave, I think you're going to see that the balance sheet is just going to balloon even further. I think you're going to have people continue to pile into that weakening U.S. dollar trade. I think right now, when you take a look at the movement in treasuries, we were stuck between 60 and 70 basis points. We're borderline approaching 80. We're at like 78 basis points right now. And I think that you're going to see that the surge in yields is going to force the Fed to address that. I think you're going to see that, the outlook for the dollar is going to be rather bearish. You're probably going to have the Fed be the last major central bank to raise rates. And what that means is you're going to have that carry trade kind of come back. You're going to see that the dollar is going to become a funding currency. And the thing that I like to look at is also emerging markets. You're going to see that emerging markets. So when you take a look at the way COVID has hit the world, the U.S., they've had the largest death toll. But when we take a look at, who's next in line, a lot of it is emerging markets. And you're going to see that their economies were already fragile, and they're going to be the last to benefit with a lot of these breakthroughs in medical treatments, but they will benefit from them. And I think you're going to start to see that, so many people have been down on EM. It's going to have a strong flow of investment because people are going to see the most value there. So I think you're going to see that, the weakening dollar is going to be accelerated by massive foreign direct investment flows. And then that's going to be very positive, I think, for the global outlook. So I think that is going to kind of keep the dollar on the ropes. And then that should be positive for risky assets, commodities in general.
Yeah, that can help keep commodities generally higher. What about COVID developments? And when I talk about COVID developments, I'm more talking about the potential of a vaccine or a treatment. Do you see any of these progressing to a certain extent that they could have a market impact sooner rather than later? And I guess on that point, do you think if we do get some sort of a treatment or some sort of a vaccine that is approved, do you see that changing the overall narrative and the overall confidence of investors?
I think in order for the global economy to kind of return to pre-pandemic behavior, we're going to need a handful of treatments out there and multiple vaccines that are being used. And we are expecting that. I think that every day we're getting some incremental updates. Today, Vir Biotech and GSK, their antibody drug treatment, entered a phase 3 trial. And, the early data has been very positive. I think that you see that people are going to be very positive to risk appetite when we see, these positive headlines that we're making progress in the fight against COVID. I think the FDA, too, is kind of pushing back against the administration's as far as their rush to get a vaccine out before the election. I think that you're seeing that Wall Street is actually positive that we're taking our time and we might be taking a little bit more time in approving these and making sure we do our four covering all the protocols and approving something. I think there's seven big vaccine bets that are out there and there's high optimism that a couple of these will pan out I think you're going to see. As we get more treatments out there, you're going to see more EUAs, emergency use authorizations get done, there's no hesitancy from governments to provide the support and the funding to get these massively produced and available to the world. So I think that we're entering that point where in the next month or two we'll be getting a couple of phase three results on these vaccines, and then I think the treatments though are key too. I think we can't lose sight of that, and I think that many Americans will have to fight this through the winter wave, and I think that as we have more tools, as doctors are better prepared to fight this and prescribe treatments, I think that will be positive for the outlook for stocks and for the economy.
Yeah, we just don't know when that's going to happen, though, right? We're all just sitting here watching the news day by day, seeing cases in the Northern Hemisphere, North America especially, continue to move higher. And that little bit of fear has crept into some traders' heads, but it seems like this week, or at least yesterday, traders were ignoring all that and markets started moving higher broadly. Today is just one of those flat days. And again, it's just hard to know what's going to drive short-term moves. And hey, we might be just in this position in a range-bound trade through at least another month and potentially through the rest of this year. Ed, thanks for your time today. I will post a link to the OANDA website where everyone can follow along with your daily note. Thanks, Ed. Have a good rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. You too.